Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Domestic Boyfriends Podcast. My name is Dean, and always with me is my co-host, Vincent.
Hello!
And we are here to bring you another magical episode of the podcast. I think we're just going to get into the topic. I think we're more comfortable now just going straight into topics. If something interests us in the news, we'll bring it up. We've been playing Helldivers. So, I don't know if Vincent has anything that he wants to talk about, but Helldivers has been the thing that I've been doing. So,
No, I don't really have anything. I mean, we got some sad news yesterday, but it was also sort of like kind of inevitable with like their track record. After like what 25 years or 22, Rooster Teeth is going under.
Yeah. Warner Brothers is closing them down. So
kind of crazy to think that the final thing for Team Ruby is the fact that they worked with the Justice League.
Yeah. Well, hopefully like that, I don't know. Hopefully they can salvage IPs and everything like that. But
yeah.
You know, you never know. It's Warner Brothers, so hey, we might have Team Ruby and Suicide Squad game. Can you guess who King Shark will be? Ruby.
I think he'd be Yang.
I think he'd be Ruby. Could you imagine him with a cape and a hood?
Ooh.
But today we're going to be talking about something that almost turned our first episode of Card Game Corner into an entire derailment. But I blame Vincent because he brought it up.
I did.
We're going to be talking
more surprised that you didn't.
Yeah, but now we're here. So today we're going to be talking about Chaotic, the trading card game / TV show. So if you listen to episode 1 of Card Game Corner, I kind of divulged a lot of what Chaotic was, but we're gonna do it again because that's what this entire episode is gonna be about. So, Chaotic was and still is. I'll explain that a little later. A card game originally started in the U.S. It's out of a Danish card collectibles brought to you by Chaotic US in the United States, yes, and distributed through TC Digital Games, which was a subsidiary of 4Kids, I believe. And we need to just have a whole 4Kids episode. It is, the early game was called Chaotic Now or Never, and with the creative minds of Martin Roaf and Draco, that is his full name, they created a completely new game. To my knowledge, Draco actually left the development team. That was a big thing that happened within the last year. That happened last year, either in 22 or 23. What Chaotic essentially is a card game. So it is a pretty cool card game if you've ever played it. It was distributed in the U.S. for a while. If I can pull some statistics, it was originally released, back in 2007? 2007 was the online version came out, and not too long after the physical cards came out. If you so what Chaotic is, it is a it's kind of a, what's the best way to put it? It's like a war simulation game or like an army simulation game, using physical cards, where you can create a deck which you challenge your opponent with, and within that deck are different cards, which are the different cards do different things. There are creature cards, which are your soldiers. You can give them equipment. You have location cards, which are where each of your battles are. Along with that, you have spells, which are called Mugic. I think that is pretty much all you have for your deck card-wise. But a lot of this stuff is randomized, and the location's randomized, and you pretty much, the way that you do it is, once you set out your soldiers with their equipment and such, you have to declare how big the battle is. So, like, if I wanted to challenge Vincent to a 5-on-5, he would pick 5 creatures and I'd pick 5 creatures. We'd put equipment and Mugic on whoever, and there are a specific amount of Mugics that can be used. The resource is called Mugicians, and once the Mugicians are used to cast Mugic, and once the Mugic is used, it is used once per battle. But it's a big tactical, game where your mind and how your matchups play can all be determined by your strategy, and also a little bit of luck because locations are randomized per battle, and you never know what your opponent generally has. You don't know what Mugic they can use. You also don't know how good their cards are because, although it is a card game and it does have multiple, each person can have, different cards and the same cards, Chaotic is probably one of the most unique card games in the fact that each card that you have is pretty much unique to you. In every single way, because the stats per card are different. Now, I do believe that stats can be similar in some form or fashion, but I think every single card is printed unique with their own stat line that is just unique to that card. So me and Vincent can have two cards of we can have the same Kaor card, and although it's the same one, it has a different stat line. Mm-hmm. So they have the same name, same creature, same type, everything, which is really interesting because Chaotic, of course, has a digital interface, and much similarly to how Pokemon and now the Dragon Ball card game has codes, each card had a code on the bottom of it, and they all had unique identifiers that could bring in that card into your online client exactly like how it is on the physical card. So, really unique, a very easy one-to-one physical and online collection sort of deal. And it's just really cool. We have... Are you opening your Chaotic cards right now?
Yeah.
So it's really cool the way that the creatures work and items work. We have different clans, which are signified by colors. The different tribes of Chaotic or the world of Parum, because much like every good card game based
just
on
like Bakugan.
Yeah, just like every good fictional story that becomes a card game has like a cool basis of like lore and everything. And Chaotic is definitely up there in my opinion. You have the different tribes.
So you take these kids and they get to go to a digital world and interact with creatures there.
And scan their data?
And scan their data.
And fight them.
Fight them. Chaotic. Not Digimon, Chaotic.
Digimon.
Not Bakugan. Chaotic.
But the difference...
I think I'm starting to see a trend of like things that I liked as a kid.
Percy Jackson, too?
He doesn't have a digital world.
Yeah, but he goes to the world that only the gods can see.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, the veil.
The divine world.
Yeah.
And then scans Poseidon and then becomes Poseidon.
And then he meets Neptune. He's like, oh, you're not my dad.
Why are you a fisherman?
Why is Mars like me? So the different tribes of Perim are the Overworlders, which are signified by the color blue, the Underworlders, which are red, the Danians, which are brown. I didn't know the Danians were brown. That's really bad. The Mephedians, which are yellow, and the Marillians, which are black, and tribeless cards are white. I really like the entire aspect of that in Chaotic, because of course there's like tribing, like that's not new in card games. Magic like was the starter of all of that, you know what I mean? But like in Chaotic, it's interesting to see like how that interacts with like their lore. The Overworlders are just people that live on the overworld.
And they're racist.
Some people are. And then, which are mostly like humanoids that, humanoids and then like mammals and flying bird creature humanoids and
beast kin.
Yeah, beast kind furries. And yeah. And the Underworlders are demon looking creatures that live underneath the ground, that can take various forms. Looking like demons, devils, and like generally wicked creatures, but not lizards because those are the Mepedians. The Mepedians are specifically just lizard people. And that's it. They live in swamps and shit like that and deserts, and that's the Mepedians. And the Danians are insects. So they have a queen, they have soldiers, they have a hierarchy and everything like that. So they're just the bugs. The Marillians are... What's the best way to describe the Marillians? Everything else. They glow and have energy. And they're like a alien-like species. I think the lore behind the Marillians are the fact that they're aliens. Like, they're not native to Perim, right?
I believe that's correct. I think one of the better ways to describe them is like, think of the movie Atlantis by Disney. Now think of the vehicles that they use, like the flying fish, and just make that an actual creature, and that's what a Marillion looks like.
Yeah. Also Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but
yeah. They look, the art direction across all of Chaotic is very, very cool, but the Marillions probably had some of my favorite art direction.
Because they're so glowy. They
look awesome.
They look so like
cool. they look like creatures out of Subnautica.
They look like Amphibian, the Ben 10 alien, but just like, yeah, 20 times cooler.
Yeah.
And then the white are tribeless, so there are creatures that just like don't have a tribe. So it's really interesting how it works and how some cards interact. They all have, each of them have like unique qualifiers, like some creatures some creatures like need other creatures to like fully work. There's this one episode of the TV show, which we'll get into the TV show in a little bit here, that they bring in, they tell you about these creatures that can only work when they have another one. They're called like the something monsters or like the Titans or some shit like that. Do you remember that episode?
No.
So the characters are like, they see a drone battle happening and then they're like, oh, that's a really powerful creature. How did you get it? And then it's just like, you have to have a tamer with it. And like, if you don't have the tamer, then like your creature will go berserk or something like that. Cause it's like, you can only have those, like the only way the one, the big strong creature listens is if you have the other one in the battle with them. If I remember it or like I see it, I'll definitely bring it up again. But like certain creatures interact with each other differently and like how they interact with different item cards and different locations if they're native to it, or if they fit like a qualifier that's within it. And just super, super cool and unique. I know Vincent probably has a little more to go on because he actually has physical Chaotic cards. He's touching them right now.
I love my little card boys so much. I only ever had the one deck, but it was the Maxor structure deck, so I still have my Maxor.
Which is probably hundreds of dollars now.
Oh god. I didn't sleeve this thing at all. I should probably put these in sleeves. Shout out to Dragon Shield.
Not a sponsor.
Not sponsored. But could be.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to our Dragon Shield rep.
Yeah.
it's crazy that I know you're into it. Okay, whatever. But I played, even though I only had the one deck and nobody around me played, Chaotic is one of like the first card games that I can think of that had like a digital client so that you could actually play against people. You could play it in browser. And I played the crap out of the game. When I would get home, I would just immediately hop on there and either I would play games or I don't know if you ever, like, did you ever use the online client?
No, but I've seen videos of the online client. I didn't physically play Chaotic. It was just the show. Because by the time that I got interested in it, you know, 4Kids was dead.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it later, but, you know, the whole lawsuit debacle, so.
Oh, yeah.
But.
So sad.
Yeah.
But, like, one of my favorite things to do on there wasn't even play the game, but, like, play with the music. Because, like, one of the things that you could do is, like, every single card had its, like, own unique code at the bottom. And the way that Mugic worked, it's magic music, right? They're all songs. And it's sort of like, it's akin to like the gym badges from like Diamond and Pearl, where like you could go and polish them. And then after you fully polished all of the badges, you could like tap them and they'll make chimes. Like you could do that with all the different music. And then like, if you did them in the right order, you would just cast one of the songs and an animation would play. Oh, so I would spend cool. like hours just messing with it. It was so cool. It was so fun. It was so unnecessary, but I loved it.
You say it was unnecessary. I say totally necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just has... It has that uniqueness to it that, like, a lot of... I feel like a lot of TCGs, even now, like, if a TCG came out now, which I felt like Lorcana really fumbled the ball with the fact that, like, you know, you have the resources at hand to do this. And especially, like... Hindsight's 2020, but like the people voice their opinions on the internet more than they need to now. I feel like anybody starting up a card game ever can just look at what people want out of other ones and just put them in theirs. And the only card game that's really using this to their full advantage, I mean, two now are Pokemon. And like, you know, that gives you a pack, not the exact cards you got in that pack. And then Dragon Ball, which I think does the exact same thing. It gives you the same pack that you purchased.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a good way to keep people in a loop, you know? They know that if they're into the game and they get the physical cards and then, you know, they can stay active in it in the online client, which is another way of doing microtransactions for them. But, like, just giving them that alternative where, like, their pack is just more than the physical card. It's actually like worth more than those 8 or 9 cards they get out of it. You can get more on the online client. I think that's
honestly quite huge.
It's what made Chaotic like so unique and interesting at the time because, yeah, my shitty fucking Mapedian card is shitty, but now I can have it twice. Or like if you have a really good card, you can put it on the online client and, you know, you can still have your deck one for one, which clients don't do that. Like, you can, depending on what it is, you know, Arena and Magic Arena, Master Duel, stuff like that, it takes resources to duplicate decks you have IRL. And sometimes you can't even do that. You know what I mean? Or vice versa. You have a really good card in the online, or really good cards in the online client and a really good deck, but you can't make that IRL, whether it's because of like differences in what the online client has to the physical card game, or you just can't afford it. You know what I mean? So it's a very unique system they had going, and if the revival goes as good as it people hope it would be, I really hope that that's something that they keep. But yeah, I think the concept of the card game is super interesting. The fact that you can upscale everything, you can literally have 100 versus 100 as long as you have the physical cards. The fact that like the way that it works as like a legitimate battlefield, you can't attack people in the back unless you have special abilities or like a specific item. Like, you have to literally work through the war zone, like physically move stuff forward and attack things, is really unique. And yeah, it's just, I really like the stepping stones that it laid down for itself.
It hurt to watch this game die, because I didn't even, like, as a kid, I didn't really process the fact that, like, you know, Four Kids was dying, that the show was gone and whatnot. The thing that told me that, like, you know, nobody was playing the game anymore or like things were done were when I started coming home and like matches would take longer to be able to, like, you know, connect with other people. And then there was just one day when I came home and I sat for like 3 hours just waiting and no one would match with me.
Poor baby, like, Vincent.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, we'll talk more about the downfall of it all after we talk about the show a little bit. But like, card game wise, really great concept, really, really awesome and fun game to play. But they also had a show on 4Kids. By the same name, that follows a man or boy, kid, dude, named Tom Major, screen name Major Tom, who him and his friends play Chaotic as a regular card game. So this is an isekai, for one. Two, it's a really interesting concept because, so, it's a story about a dude. This is like season 3 of Digimon, now that I think about it. The concept of the card game exists completely. So the first episode takes you in the perspective of Tom, and he's a high-rated Chaotic player, and he is going to... His friend is saying that eventually he's going to get a code that is going to take him to Chaotic and physically transport him to this new world. And he's just like, my friend's fucking weird, and I'm never listening to him again. Because he's like, I can't... He's like, take me to Chaotic if so I can believe you. And he's just like, I don't get transported there. My mind gets transported there. And he's just like, wow, my friend is really stupid too. And he doesn't believe him. So the whole first episode is Major Tom winning like a lot of matches, and eventually he gets a code.
Major Tom.
Eventually he gets a code, and it transports. So the way that it works is when you get a code, your mind, don't tell me how this, don't ask how it works. Your mind gets sent to a different location than your body, or at least a part of your brain or a part of your mind gets sent to a different dimension known as Chaotic, which is like the coolest place ever. It's just this giant facility that has seating and robots that can give you as much food and drink as you want, because you're not physically there, your mind is. So your mind is eating, if that makes any sense. They have these cool overlays that you can like insert your scanner into. Oh, by the way, everybody has a scanner, which was a physical product that they created, correct?
Yeah.
So the scanner was like a Pokédex that you could scan all of your codes in, and then it was pretty much just an encyclopedia of your own collection. So that aspect was also taken into the show, where your scanner was how you logged into Chaotic and send your mind to Chaotic, and there were like these holodecks that you could put your scanner into, and it gave like a futuristic screen that you could touch and filter and create decks and do shit. But the main draw of Chaotic was that your mind, the astral projection of yourself, met in this world. It was a hub world for people to battle. So like there was the physical world where people battled the card game. There was the online client, and then they could send their minds to this fucking other dimension to have Chaotic card games. But in Chaotic, in the dromes, as they called them, they're the battle domes, which are
the coolest.
It's such a cool word
thing that you could ever like imagine as a child to be able to do for a card game.
Yeah. So you go into these giant things, which are called battle dromes, which are named after the fucking creators of the game. Which I don't think they're the actual creators. They're just the characters that created Chaotic. Yeah. They're named after the Code Masters, which is another fucking cool name. You can challenge someone, or someone can challenge you to a drone battle. And like Vincent said, it's the coolest thing ever, because remember how we explained that this was like an army game and everything like that? Take that, but actually turn into the creatures and fight the battles out one after another. That is...
And choose the locations too, so sometimes you get an advantage or you get a disadvantage based off of where you are.
Yeah,
the more you like fight on those places, and like you do the more battles you do, like, you know, the more overall knowledge of the area is.
Yeah, so like it takes the card game and it takes it to max, where it's like where it takes you from being like this card game whiz and knowing the advantages to physically going in and fighting the creatures who, I think the interesting thing about it all is like, it becomes a totally different card game, because people took weak creatures into the drome and won because they either knew the location, knew the item that they were going to use, or knew how to play the creature. So in the show, it shows that like, In the show, there were episodes that showed uniqueness when it came to battling as the actual creature. So, like, when Tom had his first drone battle, he didn't understand, like, the creature and its, like, physiology, because you actually get turned into it. So, like, your body becomes that. So, like, if you get turned into a Danian, you gain extra appendages because they're bugs. If you turn into a Marillion, you might not have legs and you might be flying. There's underworlders and overworlders that are just like hippogriffs and like demons that have wings or bird creatures. So like you have to deal with that, for one, new feeling, and two, like how to maneuver in your new body. And then put that together with items that can be used uniquely to how they are in the card game. And locations that Vincent said, like, you can familiarize yourself with and gain a tactical advantage with. And then, like, actually putting it into a battle and fighting someone is crazy. It's like if you know those episodes of Yu-Gi-Oh! Where they were the cards? Take that and, like, max it out to, like, extra hype. Because that's what Chaotic is. Like, literally living out your childhood fantasies, the card game. It's super interesting of a concept that they brought to a TV show. Of course, because there is card lore and everything like that. They tried to blend that with the characters that they introduced in the show. In the show, there are four main characters, and each of them are of the... all four of them main one of the different tribes. So, in order, Tom is an overworld player, mainly. Kaz is an underworld player. The heck are the other people? Caden is a Mepedian player. And Sarah is a Danian player. So each of them kind of have this unique relationship with each of the tribes, because Chaotic just isn't the place where you fight things. You can actually go to the frickin' world that these creatures come from somehow. Somehow.
And there's also like just a war that's always happening between all the tribes because all of them hate each other.
Yeah, so, like, not just did you get transported to this, like, astral plane that everybody's sharing their consciousness on, you can also take that piece of your brain and send it to a different world, which it's never explained, because, like, the people who experience it, like, so the way that it works is you can send your person from Chaotic into the world of Param, which is the exact world that these cards are from, their stories are from, and everything like that. Within it, what you're supposed to do is scan stuff with your scanner, and you get you get card versions of those scans. So if I walk up to Maxor, the king of the overworld, and I scan him, hopefully before he kills me, that card is now in my Chaotic deck, which is super unique because Major Tom eventually finds out at the end of the second episode that when he logs out of Chaotic, for one, his physical body is doing other things. When he presses the login for Chaotic, he isn't aware that his brain is doing other things in a different world. So when he logs out and his physical body goes to retrieve the data that he used while he was in Chaotic, he gains all of that knowledge. And not just that, his code scanner gains all of the cards that he had when he was scanning them in the world of Param in Chaotic. So, like, how that works, I have no idea. Because that that gives you the idea that, like, it isn't just some weird dream he's having all the time. It's that he's literally... there is another world that... this is never explained in the show. That there is another world full of these powerful creatures that somehow people have been able to gain access to and created a pocket dimension that serves as a bridge between Earth and this other world. And like, when you think of it like that, it just gives this totally new aspect to the show and the card game in general, because like it's like if Pokemon had like a real world, you know what I mean? And people started bringing Pokemon to the real world. Like, that's crazy. There's no other card. Yeah. Okay, there's no other card game or card game show that kind of does this. Vanguard's TV show kind of did it, but like, this is literally
so
like
did Digimon.
Yeah, but they're not a card game. Oh, actually, no. The season three. What? Yeah. Yeah. I just talked about this. Yeah. I brought it up. Yeah. I know.
Fake fan.
Yeah, fake fan, yeah. Vanguard all the way. But, yeah, it's a super unique thing. And, like, they made story beats around the different thing, about, like, different parts of the world and the Marillions invading, you know, the war between the underworld and the overworld. And even time travel existed within the show, which gave it made it like a fourth dimension of problems because time traveling. But the show was cool. The show even had some like, it had some like grit to it and some like heartbreakingness. You remember Tangith Toborn?
Yes.
Rest in peace, Tangith Toborn. And it's very unique how, like, it handled certain card interactions and everything like that. Kaz, the underworld player, scanned this creature that was, like, he was, like, a... The way that the creature was, I forget what the creature's name was. I need to find it. I think you'll remember this. Do you remember the creature that was a tiny guy and a big guy? One was smart and the other one was just dumb and a brute powerhouse.
Oh, frick. See, I was an overworld player. I didn't really care about the...
It was in the show.
I know.
But anyway, so the way that the... The way that the creature worked is it was actually it was a creature that had a symbiotic relationship with another one, so they were considered one card when scanned. So there was the small creature that had like a big brain and was super smart, but it rode the back of the other creature, which was super strong and super powerful. Well, when someone turns into that creature, they're not just turning into one, they're turning into two. But they only have one mind. So you have to pilot these two creatures that work in symbiosis together. And the character, Kaz, learns that this is how it functions because he's just like, oh, the small one's really powerful because it has, like, psychic abilities. And the other one is super powerful because it has, like, physical abilities. So I can 2v1 them. But no, that's not how it works because this creature has to work in symbiosis. So you use them together to fight as one. Which is a really unique way that they've, like, showed how the character works versus how it traditionally works in the card game. Also, my favorite part of the show is the Mujic, because, like Vincent stated earlier, Mujic is magic and music put together in the show, and Mujic, when played in the show, plays a song, which is pretty amazing. And yeah, it's just super, super cool and super unique the way that they make the show exemplify the different traits that the card game has. And even like the smaller things, like people who transform into Danians, like Danian tribal is like the only way to play Danians. Because all the Danians give each other buffs because they're from the same hive. And like if you
it's
have
not
the
Borth Majar, is it?
Yeah, Borth Majar. It's Borth and Majar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. It's Borth Majar, which are like two separate creatures that interact can interact separately, but in the show they showed that they need each other. Yeah, you found them. But so Danians like give each other buffs because they're from the same hive and like it's like a pack tactics type of deal. If you're familiar with D&D stuff,
overworlders, specifically like a Maxor card, may not be mixed with may not be a mixed army, so you can't use other types of creatures with them.
Yeah,
because Maxor's just a major racist.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he is. But Major Tom loves him, so.
I think that speaks to Tom.
Yeah. Oh, and something that me and Vincent were talking about yesterday, or the other day, is so the uniqueness of the card packs and each of the cards is reflected really interestingly in the show. So much like when you open up a card pack in Chaotic, you'll have the chance of having a very unique card compared to everybody else because each stat line is different, is reflected in the TV show by each scan that people can get won't be identical to each other because the condition of the creature is always in flux. So a really good example of this is the fact that Major Tom, the main character, loses his scan of Maxor, his favorite card, the King of the Underworld, or the King of the Overworld. Sorry, he hates Underworlders.
How dare you?
Freaking KOR intensifies. But he goes to like get a new scan of Maxor, but Maxor is like sick, or like he has like a parasite on him or something like that that's like making him weaker. So whenever Tom uses him in the dromes, he notices that he's acting weird. So how
he has a cold.
Yeah. So like how the creature is when you scan it is exactly how it is when you are going to play it as the card. Which is a very interesting way to translate the packs give. Sorry, I almost died right there. Packs give unique card stats to every card, and every card will not be exactly the same. So, like, for example, another one is this one guy. This one guy, like, scanned these creatures when they're, like, doping themselves up. Like, this guy scanned a creature when it was giving itself a mugic that would give it a power buff. And because he scanned the creature during the power buff, it was permanent on the card that he got. So he could stack that same mugic the creature was using on the card, and it would just be extremely powerful in comparison to a scan that anybody else could get of it. Also, something unique to the show was the fact that there was an episode, or like a couple episodes, that happened between the end of season one and the beginning of season two that showed people destroying locations after scanning them, which were going to make them rarer, because locations in Chaotic are based off of actual locations in the world of Param. So what they were doing was taking pictures of like these beautiful lakes or waterfalls and then literally bombing them, doing acts of terrorism, and then like decimating them to a completely different area, which would count as a different scan, and trying to use theirs as leverage for better trades because they have a unique card. That's like me taking a Black Lotus and then finding all of the other Black Lotuses in existence and setting them on fire. Like, literally creating the resource problem in, like, wants and resources. So, like, that's another interesting thing about the TV show. Vincent, before we move on to the downfall of Chaotic, what is your... I think you just already told me, but what is your favorite clan in Chaotic? And if you can tell me, what is your favorite creature, mugic, location, and item card?
Overworld, Bodle.
Damn, that was quick.
I love Bodle, but he's such an ass. I mean, like, Maxor is up there. Herring is adorable. Herring's like, you know, best boy of the whole show.
My favorite one was Hearing's Ancestor. Do you remember that episode?
Kind of.
He was like the ancestor of Hearing that was used by the Codemaster against Tom, and its name was like Screamer, and it was just Hearing but on roids.
That's yeah.
Oh, not Screamer. It was called something else, because Screamer was like the bat one. Mm-hmm. All right, what's your favorite? Give me your favorite item and location.
Well, my favorite location is Bodle's castle.
Oh my gosh.
I just really like Bodle.
Okay? Yeah, I can tell.
Bodle's cool.
What's your favorite Bodle's thing? Episode was funny. What's your favorite item? Bodle's fucking Bodle's bottle.
Oh, not Bodle's bottle. It's stupid. Don't be stupid.
You just looked up Bodle items.
I'm blanking on the item names.
You can also describe it. Same goes for Mugic.
It's like, what was like the gun?
Just the energy blaster that they had generically?
No. No, it more looked sort of like the chaotic version of blood.
I don't remember. You can look up item cards, Vincent.
I'm trying to. You know, it's surprising. This game is very old, so... Okay. Yeah, that's the name of it. Battle Gear.
Yeah, items are called Battle Gear. Because not all of them are, like, physical items. They're, like... Some of them are, like, mechs and shit.
It's called the Liquilizer.
What are you gonna do to me?
The thing that Bodle used.
Oh, of course, it's just a Bodle thing.
I don't know. I just like sort of the look of it. It's basically like just a wooden hand, a wooden gun that shoots water.
Mm-hmm.
It usually just like makes a creature gain like the water element type. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily that good of a card, but like, you know, the look of it was pretty cool. And then, like, you know, music-wise, I think just the generic Song of Restoration was always, like, my favorite one.
Okay.
What about you, Mr. I Play Underworld Cards?
My favorite creature... I was going to say Hearing, but I really love Tangith Toborn. But I also really love Nadjarin, mostly because he became
Nadjarin's sick.
Just because he became plot relevant, and he also kind of reminds me if Jace was like super mega old in blue. More blue than he already is. Like, I want Jace to become Nadjarin in Magic. That's pretty much it. Pants and all. No shirt and all as well. So it's definitely Nadjarin. My favorite music. They all have like really cool songs. That's what I'm really basing them all off of. But yeah. I think Fortissimo was really cool when you heard it in the show. Because it was the first music I think Tom ever used. Because its only appearance was in episode 2. My favorite location, it might be design wise, it's a tie between the Marillion Cave and the place where they could go to the past at. You know, like the giant like time dial where like it pretty much just looked like Stonehenge. It's between that or the Marillion Cave, because like the gates that sealed the Marillions away just is really, it's very visually appealing. My favorite battle gear, I have to say it's the draw skin, because if you remember the draw skin, it was used by Codemaster Krellen during Tom's Codemaster matches. And the draw skin was like this pelt that had like these jewels on it, and it pretty much just made it so they can negate people's attacks.
Oh, yeah.
So it could absorb attacks created, I think in the show they said, like, just energy attacks and everything like that. So Tom specifically had to get... I think the way that he did it was he used a Mugic or someone's ability to destroy or to unequipped items. And that was the only way that he could do it. Because he faced Codemaster Krellen one time. So it was really fucking crazy, because the first time he fought Codemaster Krellen was when he was debating on whether he wanted to give up on Chaotic. And he went to go scan some stuff in Parham, and he ended up meeting Codemaster Krellen in his civilian clothes. And after him giving him a pep talk, he was just like, oh, let's go have a match. And then he's just like, oh, I'll 1v6 you with just this one card. And then he's just like, dude, where the fuck did you get this card? Because it was like a past creature that was super OP and had the draw skin. And then halfway through the battle, I think after he defeated two of Tom's creatures, he was just like, I'm actually Codemaster Krellen. And then he's just like, what the fuck? And he's just like, you're a couple matches away from getting the Codemaster battle with me. He's just like, I wanted to test you. And then like Tom like has like a flip of the switch at his brain, and he's just like, I'm going to try my hardest. And then he gets decimated by Codemaster Krellen. But in preparation to fight him in his actual Codemaster match, he specifically tried to counter the creature that was wearing the draw skin, because he knew he couldn't beat him because the draw skin just absorbs attacks. So that's a really interesting way of showing the counterplay that Chaotic has, both in the card game and in the show. Mm-hmm. Because if you, very similar to like how Warhammer functions, if you know how your person plays their army or how they play their cards, similar to how Warhammer and like normal TCGs are, if you know how people play, you can use that to your advantage next time you face them. So if you know they're super aggro, or they play defensively, or they like to play a specific type of card, it all translates over to Chaotic, which I think is super cool. But enough talk about the card game or the TV show. I mean, I guess...
You didn't even let me bring up Aggro 999.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. Aggro 999 is the name of the player tank who Tom battled in the episode, The Thing About Bodil. But...
You want to talk about Bodil.
I just like Bodil.
Why? He looks like a pickle.
He's so cool.
Bodil?
Yeah.
The thing that has a giant forehead?
I love Bodil.
I want to be in Bodil's workshop.
He's like, fine, but you can scam me, but you must use me in your next match. And Tom's like, sure. And I don't know why Tom goes through with it, because like, there's no way that Bodil would know.
There was no way that anybody was going to snitch to Bodil. To even talk to Bodil, Bodil was like, he's like, what, the archivist of the overworld? So like, he's high up there. Yeah. And no one, the only reason that they ever are inside of Bodil's workshop is because they break into it.
Yep.
So, like, it's not like he ever lets them in. He kind of just doesn't give them repercussions because they know Maxor and, like, all of the overworld army. So they're just like, he's just like, dealing with you is going to be more of a hassle, so I'm just going to let you go.
But you must use me in your next battle.
Yeah. I think that was literally the scenario. He was just like, I'll let you leave. You have to scan me.
Yep.
And you have to.
No one ever scans me anymore. Yeah. No one likes poor Bodil.
Bodil. I can't believe he's your favorite.
I love
it. You had so many other options, like Tangith Toborn or Maxor or the Hawk. The Hawk guy or live. The Hawk guy or like Tigress. Or whatever her name was.
But Bodil.
Or like the turtle guy. Or anyone else.
If it wasn't him, it would have been the mage.
Uh-huh. I'll believe you.
What? Nadrin's cool.
I don't like how you go from Bodil to Nadrin.
Yeah, tier list number 4, Kaor, number 3, Maxor, number 2, Nadrin, number 1, Bodil.
It's pretty. That's like ranking Ben's aliens, and then you fucking get the one that has the Omnitrix in its belly button. And that wears underwear.
My number one is Stinkfly. My number two is Forearms. You're like, what happened here?
Or like, you're like, fucking Waka Trout. Remember Waka Trout? You didn't watch Omniverse, did you?
No.
Waka Trout's like a giant trout fish with legs, and it has a belt. It's not big. It fits exactly in the size of a toilet, because they had to flush Ben down a toilet before.
I hate that.
Yeah. He has, like, in Omniverse, this is going to turn into a Ben 10 episode now. In Omniverse, he gets, like, three cool aliens, or three usable aliens, I should say, and then the rest of them are just garbage. Not even, like, how when we originally saw Upchuck, we were just like, oh, man, he's just, like, tiny, but then, like, he started to do cool things. Or, like, when Cannonbolt was really odd, and then he started to do cool things, or Ditto started to do cool things. He has, like, these creatures that are just, like, boring or worthless. Which, like, understandably, not every creature in the solar system has a, like, in the galaxy has a cool ability. Because, like, that's just, like, Ben using their abilities is just him using these natural creatures, like, things to deal with, like, criminals and everything like that, and making their natural gifts into weapons. But at the same time, that's so bad for story progression and to make stuff cool, like fight scenes.
Yeah. I saw a clip from Omniverse recently where Wrath is talking to other people of... No, not even talking to other people as species.
It's no, so like, so Gravitak's talking...
No, he is.
Gravitak is
talking to other people.
Gravitak is talking to other members of Wrath's species? Is that what you're talking about?
He's like, wait, you wear pants? He's like, of course we wear pants.
Yeah, he's like, of course we wear clothes. And then Gravitak's staring in the camera. He's just like, whenever I turn into Wrath, I'm naked.
Yeah, the two Galvins that they're with are like, does that mean? Yes. Wrath is always butt naked.
Which is really funny because the next time you see Wrath, like, the Omnitrix puts him in clothes and it's just a luchador outfit.
That's very funny.
Yeah. So back to Chaotic. The downfall of this game was really sad because... the original creators, I don't know everything about it, but I do know some things that the original creators got into. So they originally wanted to detach themselves from 4Kids as 4Kids was going down, I believe, or during the time that 4Kids was still a active company. And due to contracts and legalities... it put Chaotic in a bind because I believe what they were trying to do was either separate themselves or they were trying to go against the artistic decision, the artistic and creative decisions that 4Kids was trying to push upon them, thus them going into a lawsuit. The thing about lawsuits is that with, especially with IPs that have debatable and disputable legal ownership, is that once that IP is put up for discussion and has these legal gray areas, it can no longer be used. So Chaotic was put into this limbo that quite literally, I believe, ended in... when did it end?
I think 2010.
When did the Chaotic lawsuit...
That might have been... End?
So, okay, wait, it's fine. We have a Reddit post here. Reddit knows everything. So... Oh, this was from 6 years ago. Yeah, so the judge said that production had to both stop from the original owners and from Four Kids, thus stopping everything, which caused the decline of it all, because since no product was, which is really crazy because they noted in interviews with the original owners that, like, there's warehouses full of product of Chaotic that never got shipped out because of this legal dispute.
That makes me so sad.
And I think in 2019, here, give me a second. Yeah, so 2010. Yes. So in 2014, Four Kids filed for bankruptcy. The bankruptcy ended in 2017, thus dissolving and ending the copyright dispute, which left the TC Digital Games, which left TC Digital Games in the rights for it, and the original creator is trying to reboot it. So, a very long time of disputing, and that the reason that it died was because of legal issues and people wanting their creative rights and other people wanting money. So, there is, if you're ever curious about Chaotic, there is a Chaotic Discord that is ran by the original creator. You can just look it up because it is still very much active. They have their own fan-made digital client that is technically being supported by the community and the original creator. At this point, it's all community-driven because Chaotic has been pitched to, I believe he has pitched it to multiple people like Konami and other card game creators, and it is not biting. But despite all of that, it is very much a popular card game even now. People use this online client to fulfill their dreams of playing it. Some people continue what they did way back when. And it's just awesome to see a community come together for something that they love like this, because nothing is technically quote unquote officially supported. Everything is just community driven, and it's amazing, honestly. It's amazing and kind of sad, honestly, just because, like, it had these major highs that got met with these crazy lows of the fact that, you know, it took all of these legal disputes killed the game because nothing could have been done during this time. So that's the downfall and hopefully eventual return of Chaotic. Vincent, let me know if you have any more thoughts that you'd like to talk about. Or we can get wrapped up with our thoughts.
I personally do not, outside of the fact that I myself probably this weekend or next I'm gonna like finally download the digital client and just jam out some games.
Yeah, it's really
if there are people who are interested in like playing a more modern version of, or modern-ish feeling version of Chaotic or something that's like kind of similar. There is a newer card game that is coming out later this year called Altered, which I'm going to give you some like even more in-depth details here. There's plenty of info out there about it. It's a card game that went on Kickstarter exclusively just for like advertising because they knew the card game was already going to do well, and it got I think almost $7 million in Kickstarter money. It's getting a product officially made for it by GameGenic, and it's got full backing from the company Asmodee. And it's very similar to Chaotic. There are every single card is a common, and the higher the rarity of the card, the more like the more full art or like sparkly the card will look. But also there's something called uniques, which is you know, a version of the card that has different or better stats or more abilities, quite like chaotic cards. And it's in itself, it will be like a digital card game as well, because every single card will have a unique QR code on it that you can scan into a digital library. You can play online with your cards, and then just a bunch of other stuff that is honestly like very reminiscent. I did not want to like the game initially, but after sitting down and playing it, it was very fun.
That's really cool. That's, you know, if the spirit of Chaotic can be lived on through in a different game, I feel like that's just as good. Because it has very unique concepts that I feel like a lot of modern card games could take advantage of, you know.
I completely agree. And I really hope that he finally does, like, land someone to be able to bring it back. Because, God, I would love to play physical Chaotic again.
It's just such a hard... I don't know if it's, like, a hard sell for modern card game sellers, or it's just the fact that it has a history, you know. It did good back then, and it had a TV show, and it was doing good. But the thing that threw everything away was the fact that people wanted their creative rights back. And maybe people just don't, maybe companies just don't like that, because, you know, creators of card games are either they 100% have the rights to their IP and they're just being distributed through a thing. But for them, it was, they were being distributed, produced, everything was just being used by 4Kids, or everything was being like incorporated by 4Kids, including their team that worked with them, right? So instead of it being like, I own my IP, it's just like, we own the IP, you know? So it was a hard legal battle for them. So I'm sure that like them finding the right contract is also important. Also, people that will treat it as if it's a group project that has this existing community and not like something else, because it's a different sell than what Chaotic was before, because Chaotic was like, you know, it had 4Kids so kids could watch it. Now it would probably have to be targeted towards the normal like 20 plus audience or 18 plus audience that stuff like Magic does. And, you know,
that's true.
You're competing with Magic the Gathering. So at that point, you're no longer friendly kids card game like Pokemon with these like cool modern twists of like, you know, monsters and stuff like that. You're going to try.
I'm surprised he hasn't tried going on like Kickstarter or something. Cause, like,
I think there was a Kickstarter.
From the Discord alone, there's over 1,000 people in.
I think there originally was a Kickstarter to continue production, or like to at least release whatever. So the idea was that the set that was supposed to release is just done. You know, it's there's warehouses full of those cards, but they can't touch them because they are 4Kids. They're 4Kids, right? And 4Kids is no longer a company. So that's in limbo, right? Not to mention those cards are probably not usable anymore. Although they are sealed in the packs and everything like that. God knows what happened in those things and how good those cards quality are, how good the card quality is after all those years of just sitting there and everything like that. And if there's any weather damage to it, just because if the lawsuit also included the fact that they paid the people to manage the warehouses, I have a feeling that nobody was touching those during the lawsuit. I believe there was some type of Kickstarter. I believe that's what keeps the online client running, honestly, is like those and donations. So, you know, he wants to release like the set that was supposed to come out after that, and then the sets that were released so people could get the original cards and everything like that. But, you know, it's hard, you know. They were at the peak, and now they're back at square one. So, it's hard. But if you don't have any more thoughts, I think we can wrap it up. Just let me know.
Sorry, I just got some like pretty bad news. I've got nothing else.
Okay, well, we will wrap it up then, and we will catch you guys next time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening as always. If you want to get in contact with us, you can catch us at our X, formerly known as Twitter handles. I am at @lying_mask.
I'm VincentBarlow8.
And you can reach us at the Domestic BF Pod together and Domestic BF Pod in quotation marks together because we're together. But Domestic BF Pod is the Twitter handle, just in case you got confused. Thank you, Ultimate Maverick X, for our art as usual. And thank you for listening once again. And we will catch you guys later.
Stay beautiful, everyone.